morning. I hope you're doing great this morning. This is a phenomenal time to get together and worship God in spirit and truth. I'm thankful that all of you are able to log on and do that. Thanks again for all the singers and the hard work you guys do every week. And always, special thanks to Jacqueline Davis and Jemmy Ojukwu for the work in putting these videos up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please encourage them. They are doing a phenomenal job. I'm going to pray in a second. Lot to pray about. Lot to pray about right now. There's always a lot with COVID-19, and that weight is a big deal. But the death of George Floyd, on top of Ahmaud Arbery a few weeks ago, it's just very, very heavy. And our cities are burning right now because of the rage and the outrage over these senseless deaths. And I know my heart's heavy. I know many of your hearts are heavy. I know that we are weary and frustrated and angry and all the things that we feel. And yet we serve an amazing God. So it's at this time, let's all bow down and pray to God, not only to watch over the church or to grow the church, but to watch over our cities and our communities to God to move. So let's pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and what you do. We thank you. You look down and you love us. You love those who are in the kingdom, not the kingdom, to God. You want what's good for us. And I know you see these senseless deaths, this racial injustice, and all the fruit of hatred that's in our communities, to God, and it breaks your heart. We pray for healing. We pray for miraculous divine healing. We pray for you to intervene and turn something good out of what is a terrible situation and a terrible circumstance. We pray for protection and healing when it comes to COVID-19. But we also pray for miraculous healing when it comes to the stain on our communities. Father, we look to you. We look to heaven as the God. Heal our own hearts. Heal our own hearts from the pain that we feel. And also, we always pray for the sick. We pray for Jacqueline Davis. And we pray for Ori Mack and Walter Martin. And we pray that you watch over Miss Maureen. It's so great that she had another birthday, to God. That we pray so much that you watch over my health, to God. You watch over all of us and keep us healthy. But we pray for our cities. We pray for these streets. We pray for healing. We pray all this in your name and through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Crazy times. Dark times. That's what we're living in. You know, I want to talk a little bit today about the light of the world. The light of the world. And let me pull this on up because it's hiding on me here. But the light of the world. Let me read a passage to you. Over in John 8:12, Jesus just says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we live in dark times. We knew this before this past week. We live in challenging times. COVID-19 has been a weight on so many of us. Together, this pandemic and just all the challenges that exist because of it. And as many of us, some of us lost jobs, been furloughed. You know, those of us blessed to work at home, that's been challenging. And then there's this fear of what does the future hold. So that cloud has already been on us, right? Well, on top of that cloud, we've been reminded again of the sin of racism and racial injustice. Not only Ahmaud Arbery was gunned down senselessly a few weeks ago in Georgia, and not only what was a African-American man falsely accused of crimes in Manhattan about a week ago, but we had George Floyd murdered by a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and all the anger and riots that have broken out throughout the country as people, black, white, brown, have been outraged over yet another example of senseless violence against African Americans in this country. It's a long history of it. But never before has it been so vividly recorded. Where there's no excuse. No one can make any argument, right, that this is murder by a police officer. 9 minutes, a knee on this man's neck. How are you feeling about that? I know this outrage, this frustration, this bitterness. I know me, I feel tired. That may be a weird way to respond to it, but man, this issue in our country it's been going on so long, and throughout my lifetime, the struggles have been the same. You know, for me, this isn't shocking, it's disappointing. It's horrific. But it's not shocking. There's so many stories in my own lifetime like this. And so it's just so many emotions. You know, just give us one story from my own life. My father was one of the first African Americans to have a private practice in Baltimore, Maryland. And so he was a pediatrician to own his own office, right? His own office that he ran on Emerson Avenue in Baltimore on the east side. And so one night, his practice was broken into. So he calls the police, and the police come. And when they get there, they immediately shoot him because they assume a black man on premises, he must be the guy. And so though he's dressed as a doctor and not a thug, they shot him 3 times. Now, God's great. He lived to see another day, lived to have an old life, right? But that's one of my earliest memories, is my dad calling the police and getting shot in his own practice. This is not a new issue. And so my own personal emotion, I'm tired, right? My name is Frank. And it's Frank largely because my uncle was very involved in the civil rights movement. He walked with Jesse Jackson and Dr. King, and he was involved in organizing, right? And so he didn't have any kids, and my mom was afraid that he would never live to have kids. So when she had her third son, she named him Frank after my uncle. That's just my own personal history. And there's so many stories that there's so many of us have, and so much history of this. And now we got it caught on film for the whole world to see. And people are angry. People in the church are angry. And let me tell you something. I hope something good comes out of it for our communities. I hope positive change happens in our country. But let me tell you what I know for sure. For this issue and all the issues, for this drama and all the drama, Jesus is the light of the world. And for real change and real answers to come about, Jesus must be the answer. Because on my own, there's too much of me and too much of my thinking and too much of anger or frustration, whatever the issue is, for me to be the solution, for me to come up with it on my own, I need Jesus. I need Jesus now more than ever. To deal with COVID, to deal with the senseless deaths, to deal with all the issues that we face, I need Jesus to be my light, to be the light for my life, for my family, and for this world. And you need him too. Jesus is the light of the world, but also he calls us to be the light of the world. Let's keep on reading. We're called to be salt and light. And it says over in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And we'll stop right there. He says, look, he's the light of the world, but because we're his children, his church with a capital C, his people all over the world, we're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth, to be salt and light. Right? Well, what is salt? We think about salt now as seasoning, but before the ages of freezers and refrigerators and preservatives, salt had a more important role in society. Salt was a preservative. Salt was for healing. You could heal with using salt. You could preserve food using salt, and then salt gave flavor. Still does, by the way. Hypertension too, but it gives a lot of flavor, okay? And so salt was a healer, salt was a preservative, salt gave flavor. He says, we are salt for this world. We are healers for a broken world. We are preservatives that preserve the good that's in this world, because there is good in this world. And we add some flavor, some Jesus spice to a broken world. You know, there's a debate raging on the internet. It's a bigger issue than any of the things that you're seeing. And it's the debate with Duke and Walter and Brian debating who makes the best ribs. And there's been some trash talk, man. I've been trash talk where people going back and forth. And I can't wait for COVID to be over so we can have a good old-fashioned rib off and I can be a judge. I'm the best judge ever, right? But there's a debate raging on. And so almost every day now, Kim and Brian are posting ribs and showing what they're doing. And they're growing in the expertise. And, you know, Duke has come back and Walter's talking back. And I don't know who's going to win. My money is on the OGs, though, right? I tend to go that way when it comes to cooking. But that's just my own partiality. But I'll be a judge, right? But the one thing we got to know, if you're going to win a rib off in Birmingham, Alabama, you better have some flavor. You better have some seasoning. And it's going to involve some salt, like it or not, right? Salt in the ancient world gave flavor, was a preservative, was a healer. Brothers and sisters, we've got to let the love of God heal our hearts. Look, it doesn't mean you don't speak up. I don't think it's wrong for disciples to be truth tellers, or to speak up, or to be involved in rallies. I don't think it's wrong at all, but we've got to make sure we are truth tellers who are healers, that our truth is seasoned with love and grace. Not less truth, just more love and more grace. We've got to be healers in our community, healers at our job, healers in our family. We've got to be the preservative to preserve and defend what's right. And we've got to add that Jesus spiced the conversations. It breaks my heart when things like this happen and I go on Facebook and I can't tell between the posts of people who don't love God and those that do. Man, our posts should stand out. And it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be angry. But we've got to make sure that whatever we're feeling is seasoned by Jesus, because we're called to be the salt for this earth, for our communities, for our jobs, for our family, to be that salt. It goes on in Matthew 5. And it simply reads, "No one lights a candle and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." And it goes on. And I'm misreading the thing again, that we're the light of the world. We're salt of the earth and the light for the whole world. That because the Holy Spirit lives in us and Jesus lives in us, we are the light for all the world. We've got to let our Jesus shine. Even in dark times with COVID, our faith and our love has to shine. And even in dark times where an innocent man has been murdered by a police officer, and it's a legacy of it. And not just the murder, but the institutional racism. Even when we're doing COVID, the disproportional amount, percentage of black and brown skinned people who die once infected speaks to what? Racial inequality in our healthcare system and so many things. This world is evil. It's evil all through the world. And racism is the original sin of America. I'm not, you know, that's not the purpose of the sermon, but we're living during these times. We gotta talk about it, right? What's the answer? Jesus. We've gotta be the light. We've gotta shine the light. Now, how do you do that? Well, we can say the right thing, we can do whatever, but it's gotta be our example. The church. I don't know what the world's going to do to fix all these issues. And I pray good things will come and there will be meaningful change as a result of the things that we're seeing on TV. But let me tell you what I do know. I know the church, because of God's power, because of the power of his blood, we can be the example for these things. We can be the example of people loving each other across racial divides, the age divides, and cultural divides. And not a colorblind love or a cultural blind love where, you know, I ignore what you are to love you. No, we can love you where I see who you are. And I accept you for your personality, for your background, for your race, and I love all of it. And we can merge it together. And well, I don't have to be a certain kind of person or act a certain kind of way to be loved by you. That we can be ourselves unapologetically and we can love each other. And because we love each other, we can call each other higher to be more and more like Jesus. That's the kind of love that we have the potential to have in the church. Now, I've been a disciple for a long time. I know we're not always that way. I know that sometimes we let the world creep into the church. We let our politics creep into the church. And we let the division creep in. And we let the isms creep in. But there is the power to change. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for disciples to get involved in the in peaceful demonstrations or get involved in peaceful action to change things in your community. I think there's a lot right to that, by the way. But I do know this. The most powerful thing is the power of example. Can you imagine 60, 70, 80 years ago, how our history would have been different if God's church had repented of racism? If God's church had accepted people of all races and all kinds and had the love of Christ in the church before society ever changed one law? Can you imagine how that would have changed history just for the church to be that light? Too often, when it comes to race and the isms, churches lag behind. I mean, your job is integrated, the military is integrated, basketball teams are integrated. Church is still the most segregated time in our country. It's Sunday morning between 9 and 12, right? God's church should be a light. We should be way ahead of the game. Our love should be a shining light of what can be done. But we've got to make sure that we deal with the isms in our soul and the anger and the pride and all the stuff in our soul so that we can be a light. We can be an example of what God can do in this world, what the love of God can do, the light of the world. But we got to let God move through our isms and move through our sin and our struggles, and to let that love shine, to love each other, to love the lost, to love like Christ loves us. Not in spite of our differences, but because of our differences. We've got to love that way. And it's hard to love that way. It's easier to love people who are like you, right? Man, we got to love the way God loves us. And that will be a light that affects change. Not just talking about it, but living it out each and every day. You know, I'm in the superheroes and all type of geek things, and anybody knows me knows that. I don't apologize for it. Hey, there's much wisdom found in geek sci-fi and fantasy, right? You know, so I'm in the superhero superpowers, you know, and you got guys that turn green and get strong like the Hulk, and guys that put on super suits like Iron Man, and you got Superman who can do anything, I guess, and all these different things going on in the superhero universe. The reason why God calls us to be the salt for the earth and the light of the world is because through his spirit that he's given you and me, through his power that he's given you and me, the Holy Spirit residing in us, a piece of God in us each and every day, he has bestowed on you and on me superpowers. The power to be humble, to have empathy, to have honesty and grace. These are things the world lacks, man. We're not humble. We can't hear people's story. Why are the isms so big? Because we don't listen to people's story. We're so into our politics and our position. And are you right or left wing? We can't hear people's story and hear their pain. And in the church, through Christ, we can be humble enough to hear someone's story and not just see their skin. Hear the story and not just have what we were raised to think. Hear the story and then have empathy, the humility to listen. And the humility to listen with your heart. And that's empathy. Now we gotta pray for that. We gotta grow in that. We have to decide. Yeah, we all wanna be heard, but we gotta listen. And then listen with our hearts. And that's a power that the Holy Spirit has given you and given me that we have because we are dipped in Christ's blood, that the world is in short supply. And this is why we can and should be different. Honesty. That we have the ability to be honest about things the world doesn't even want to talk about. But we can be honest about it because we know God can change it. We can be honest about it because we understand that anything that we're honest about and we shine the scriptures on will change. And so there's the opportunity for the church to be honest about this issue and other issues in ways the world can't be honest. It's afraid to be honest, but we can't be afraid in God's church. And not honesty with bitterness, but honesty with love, but still the unadulterated truth can be spoken in God's church because we know the truth will set you free. And we believe it. And then grace. Because grace and truth in God work together. Just shouting truth at somebody without grace, that's not a healer, right? But we know in God, grace and truth can work together. And that's a healing combination. That's a powerful combination. That I'm honest in love. I'm honest with grace. I'm honest about how you hurt me. And I forgive you. And I love you. Man, grace and truth. We're afraid of truth because, oh, what? Grace and truth are a powerful team. They're a healing team. It is salt and is light to a lost world. Using our power of humility, the power of empathy, the power of truth, and the power of grace together, there is nothing God's people cannot accomplish. I pray that we let the light shine in our hearts, and then we let the light shine for this world. We let that salt heal our hearts, and then we let that salt heal the world. And I pray that we get involved more in the communities and whatever we can do to help people in any way. Help the dialogue in any way, right? But the biggest thing is we have to walk the walk as a church that lets Christ's light shine. If we do that, there's nothing that God can't do through us. Let's be the salt and let's be the light. To God be the glory. Amen. At this time, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get in our small groups and take communion. If you don't know about our small groups or aren't in one, you can log on to our website and either contact us through email or phone, and we'll hook you up with a group. They're great, and really, I don't know where I'd be right now with COVID without those small groups, so they're fantastic. Let's pray for the service and then go to our groups. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your spirit and your power, for your grace. Thank you for all the things you've given us. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are the one and only God. God, thank you for your love. I pray that your people, let your grace wash us. That you will heal our hearts to God and heal our brokenness to God. Help us to be your salt and your light. And help your salt and light to heal us and radiate through us. God, we pray for this broken world. We pray for the hurt on the street. I pray for the family of George Floyd, that you heal them. And for everyone involved in this tragedy. I pray for the police officers and the first responders, the guy who are caught in the middle of this. Most of them are hardworking and they are serving our community so great. I pray that their service is not lost in the middle of this. The guy, but I pray for the community. I pray for healing. I pray for understanding. I pray for love to conquer hate. We pray all this in your name and through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.